I speak to you in the name of God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. On this National Aboriginal Sunday, the Anglican Church across Canada is recognizing that we are people on land. And today we are here gathered on the traditional and unceded territory of the Stolo First Nation, the people of the river. And this is a Sunday where we as a church recognize our mistakes that we made and are called to reconcile ourselves to our own errors, to reconcile to the First Nations people, and to walk ahead as peoples of a common desire to maintain the land that we have been given by God, to protect it, to sustain it, and to bequeath it to people yet unborn. This is our desire today, that we are here in humbleness before Almighty God, the Creator, to reconcile. Our problems as Christians began long before any of us were born. It began in 1420, when a pope issued a decree called the Doctrine of Discovery. And the Doctrine of Discovery decreed that all nations who were not white and Christian, their lands were and their cultures were null. There was nothing there. And that we were to take it over. This was before the time of having the Protestant Reformation. And in the Protestant Reformation, threw away a lot of those early declarations that kept that one. And so we, as a white European-based people, went around the world practicing this horrible doctrine. It's caused great tragedy across North America and Australia, New Zealand, South America, Africa, you name it. Anywhere outside of basically Western Europe, this doctrine and its interpretation has been bad. And we as Anglicans in Canada walked away and disavowed that doctrine many, many years ago. Over 25 years ago, we disavowed it and said, we made a mistake. We should never have been there. But the damage has been done. And today I want us to think about First Nations culture and people. Some First Nations people worship with us, and it's a blessing that we are working together. But we want us, because we're so endued, imbued with it in our culture, we have to start rethinking our perceptions of First Nations people. And I know many of you are working hard at realigning your understanding. But I want to share a few things today that I think are important. When I was a kid, as a little kid, I got my first cultural taste of the world through comic books. Maybe you did too. And we had these ideas of playing cowboys and Indians. Now, I always wanted to be an Indian, actually, because I thought the headdresses that we had were much more attractive than the other stuff. But we ran around in the backyards and we played this stuff. But it gave to us, and we watched it imprinted on us by watching The Lone Ranger and other things on television. It imprinted upon us a negative attitude. Well, as I got a little older in school, by about the age of 11, I realized that what we've been doing was not quite accurate. Now, I was not a hero, but I remember a girl in the class who all the guys thought was really wow. And her name was June. I won't mention her last name. Well, I will, but not June wouldn't matter, wouldn't mind. Her name was, last name was Horn, and her cousin was Continental Horn, who is a woman from Montreal who was a beauty queen. Well, it ran in the family, and we all thought that she was gorgeous. And then our parents said, well, you know, she's First Nations. She's Indian. And we said, so what? We started to change our attitudes. And we started to recognize that there was a lot of culture around us. And I can remember going back of the back of the farm in Quebec and finding arrowheads, because there had been a First Nations encampment and trails in the back of the area where I grew up. And we thought it was fantastic to meet and find all these signs of early history. And it was quite enlightening. But sadly, some of the leaders did not understand that First Nations people had a developed culture. And part of what we're about today is to understand that we learn from each other. And that had it not been for First Nations people and their generosity, the first settlers of Canada would have died. For the First Nations people in Nova Scotia met Champlain and gave to them, and also in Quebec, a lot of insight on how to survive in a cold climate. We have to really realign our cultural understandings. I want to share with you one of the things that we didn't understand before. When the Europeans came here, there already was an established culture right across Canada and was appropriate to where they were. The Plains culture was different than the Eastern culture, which was different again than the Pacific culture, but it all had a sense. And there was some commonality. And it was really in the educational sense. And we had some exposure to this, the Synod delegates and myself at Synod. And I want to share with you today in a bit more detail. First Nations had principles of learning which we would do well to practice today in whole of Canadian culture. The first principle was that learning ultimately supports the well-being of the self, the family, the community, the land, the spirits, and the ancestors. Now, we as Christians understand that there is the holy mysteries. Our Eucharist today is connected to the holy mysteries, that we know that there's more to life than what we see, and that we do have a sense that there is a spiritual awareness around us, that we as Anglicans believe there is the church present, the church to come, and the church triumphant, and that the spirits of those who've gone before us are with us still, around us, praying for us, supporting us. We understand that. And we are glad and know that First Nations people understand that and that we can connect together. But learning ultimately supports the well-being of the self, the family, the community, our land, environmentally aware, and the spirits and of the ancestors. Another principle of learning is that learning is holistic, reflexive, reflective, experiential, and relational, focused on connectedness and on reciprocal relationships and a sense of place. Any one of you who are educators know that this is one of the principles of learning, which maybe in slightly different words. I know that when I was taking programs in pedagogy, which is what they called it for clergy learning how to be teachers, they called it pedagogy, Sunday and church pedagogy, we were taught that we had to have a holistic approach to what we did. That good clergy are supposed to be the guide on the side, not the sage on the stage. And that we are to be here empowering each other to be ministers in the name of God. And that's a holistic approach that is connected to what's happening now, is reflective and brings in the traditions and experiential and very relational. This was an established principle in North America, in First Nations, long before any European settler came to the land. Learning involves recognizing the consequences of one's actions. Haven't we all had to do that? And some of our consequences are good and some are not. But we all have to learn that. And again, First Nations people knew that long before Samuel de Champlain came here, or the Vikings, or whoever else came first. It's been long known. Learning involves generational roles and responsibilities. So we know that we get a fair amount of learning in school, but we also get learning from our families of origin, both the good and the bad. And it's intergenerational learning. And a lot of the things we learn to do are great, and we also learn things, I don't want to do that myself. And both happens in the intergenerational learning. Learning recognizes the role of indigenous knowledge. So true. You've spent time with the environment. You've spent time with the world around. And that is what we pick up. And that knowledge of the seasons. We sometimes, as settler people, act as if there is no season. We're still doing it. Who buys strawberries that are fresh in January? I mean, it's just beyond. But we have to learn to really be in concert with the world around us. Learning is embedded in memory, history, and story. That's true for us as Christians. I mean, the Bible is the embedded memory of early spiritual people, first passed on orally and then later written down. It's in the history of the church, and it's in the saga of the church. It's not a literal written down history, but a saga, a wisdom, which is also true for First Nations. They had the saga of who they are and how they came to be. And we have to recognize the value in both of these ways of learning. Learning involves patience and time. I found myself during the week thinking, you know, I'm 72 years old. I really wish I had some of this knowledge when I was 22 years old. It had been so much better. And I've begun to learn that old saying that was told to me when I was younger, that age is wasted on the young. I wish I had that knowledge then. I think that's how that phrase goes. Learning requires an exploration of one's identity. Who are we? Once we start to answer that, our lives are better. And we spend a lot of time, individually and collectively. Who am I? Who am I in relationship to myself, to God, to my partner, to my world, to my culture? Who am I? It requires an exploration of that. And the final principle of learning of First Nations people over the millennia is, learning involves recognizing that some knowledge is sacred and only shared with permission and or in certain situations. There is sacred knowledge. The sacred knowledge that we share is the Creator creates us as signs of God's love. And there's times we don't act like that. But we also have to remember that that sacred knowledge is that we are signs of God's love. And I think we forgot that in a lot of our relationships with First Nations people. We did not exhibit the love. We were like Peter cutting off the ear, not like Jesus restoring the ear. We have to learn now to follow that message of being people of love and people of restoration. It's a challenge because culturally we haven't learned an automatic response in that way. But the challenge for Christians going forward, as people of reconciliation, of people who are following Jesus Christ, is to be people of reconciliation. Sometimes we have to not respond to our emotional response, but start to be thinking, who am I as a person of God? And how do I relate to the world around me and myself? Do I relate as an emotional person like Peter? Or do I relate as a restorative power like Jesus? Remember, we talked last week on Trinity Sunday. We talked about the idea that God is within us, not just remote from us, but imminent within each of us, that we carry God within us, and that we're on a journey with God, and God is on a journey with us. We're doing a holy dance. And that in this sense of relationship is how we must respond to the world around us in all things. It's a challenge because we often have cultural forces and education that says we should be afraid, not that we should be loving. That's the way of the world. But we are called following a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you, Jesus said. And so on this Sunday, as we seek to deepen our reconciliation, we must remember that we are called to be the people of love, the people of forgiveness, the people of repairing damage. And we journey together with the people of the land, moving forward as a whole people of God, a whole people of the Creator. And I pray that as you receive the Eucharist, to which all are invited, that we have that new commitment of that power of that restorative Jesus residing within us, restoring us to wholeness and restoring our relationships in the community around us to wholeness. May God bless us all. Amen.